Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Okay, ladies, today on the podcast, I am going to cover one of the most requested topics that you send me, which is how to organize your husband, how to get your husband on board, how to get him to follow your system, and just basically all about how to organize husbands. And at the end, I will touch on children also. So I know you're sitting back, you're like, yes, she is going to give me the magic sauce to finally get my husband on board. Oh, I can't wait to have him listen to this podcast episode, right? Well, before you get too excited, we're going to talk about you almost the entire time. I know. I'm just like this. The more I really dive into and analyze why things don't work, the more it almost always comes back to us, you and me, and what we are doing. So I'm going to give you practical, actionable steps. And when you do what I say, your husbands are usually going to come around. And I'm seeing it happen in the Facebook group all the time. Like, you're downstairs organizing your storage room and your husband has started organizing the pantry upstairs. Or you finished your garage sale and you got most of it taken down and your husband is loading up the donations and taking them to drop off at the donations. It's shocking you. I know. But I'm going to tell you why that happens and how it happens. So number one, this is not about them. It's about you. Because you can only change you. I can only change me. I could record 900 million trillion podcast episodes, but I can't change you. I can't get your house organized. And now that I am not doing any in-home physical organizing, just my team is doing it, I am realizing more and more how not difficult or challenging, but different it is to motivate you to take the change in your home that needs to happen in order to get organized. Like when our team comes in and organizes, it's expensive and it's quick and it happens. And for a lot of people, they can maintain that. Like the change does happen internally too. They just don't do the physical work. You who are listening to the podcast and doing it on your own all around the world in all different size houses and family situations, you are having to make the change yourself. And it is a much slower process, but it is a lasting one. So I want to start with, where are you in your organizing? And in January, I'm going to really deep dive into each of these stages, but let me just remind you what they are. So stage one is complete overwhelm. Every drawer is a junk drawer. You don't even remember what the closets were supposed to be for or what's in any of them. You have many boxes and bags and containers. And if I were to say what's in that box, bag, or container, you would have no idea. And when you open it up, you have no idea where to put it. That is stage one. That is complete overwhelm. And over 50% of you are still in that stage. Stage two is where you actually do organizing. I'm sorry, stage one is just decluttering. So you just have to get less stuff and match things like with like so we can even figure out how to organize them. Stage two is where you are looking to organize and create systems. This is usually year two of a challenge if you're doing a whole year challenge. This is where, okay, I eliminated 30 to 50% of what I had. Now what I have left, I'm pretty sure I want, but it's not organized enough that I am not looking for things anymore. I'm still spending a lot of my time looking for and trying to remember where I put things. This is when you decide that all of the school supplies are going to be located in one area, not in four different areas in your house. Or if you have a home-based business, you're going to get all of your inventory and your office supplies and everything that you do related to that business into one or two spaces, as opposed to a little bit in every space. This is also when you're going to start corralling those passion projects. So for me, it's scrapbooking. For my husband, it's fishing and golf. For my daughter, it's animals and makeup. And for my son, it was Legos, and now it's games, video games, and art. So whenever we see anything golf or fishing related, we're going to put it in the garage for my husband. And whenever we find anything scrapbooking related, we're going to put it in the basement for me. And you're going to take things out of every single area of the home and give each thing a place to go. and you're organizing the areas that everyone has, like kitchens and master bedrooms and bathrooms and all of that, and also your passion project areas, you're still deleting a little bit, eliminating a little bit, but mostly you're finding systems and refining where you keep things in your house so that it makes more sense, so you're not spending as much time looking for things. Stage three is the last stage, and I have been calling this refining and maintenance. And while it is those things, I realized recently that really it's productivity. So I've been doing this productivity podcast, and you guys are loving this, but you cannot really get to be a productive person if you're still in stage one or two. You could start to get productive in stage two because they go hand in hand, but really, your productivity grows exponentially once you stop looking for things, which means for the average American, you just cleared up 55 minutes a day. A day. We spend 55 minutes a day looking for things. That's insane. So can you imagine what you could do when you stop looking for things? Obviously, your productivity is going to increase. So you need to decide what stage of life are you in. So the majority of you are in stage one or stage two. You're completely overwhelmed. You've lived in your house for many years, or you just moved there, or a life tragedy just happened to you and you're completely unorganized. Obviously, stage one, make a Sunday basket. That's why I always say, always start with the Sunday basket. So if you are in stage one, as many of you are, and you are overwhelmed, or even if you're in stage two and you're going through the 40 weeks, one whole house, or the 100-day challenge for the second time, and you are starting to create systems, it has taken you a long time to get to this point. So if you've been listening to me for a year and a half, 2 years, you're really making progress. You probably didn't make the progress organizing in your home as soon as you found me, as soon as you started listening to me, the first time that you came to the blog, the first podcast that you listened to. You had to decide if you liked me, if my style would work, if this was how you thought, if I'm not annoying and I could be your friend and I could motivate you and coach you through this. And I'm sure there are many weeks where you haven't made organizational progress in your home, but you've thought about it and you've thought about the changes that you're going to make and your mindset has changed. And so now you are a more organized person living in a cluttered house, and it is making you more and more crazy every day because now you know that you're capable of being organized and what you think organized is going to feel like, and you want to get there as fast as possible. Your husband has not been listening to me, and he has not gone on the mental part of the journey yet. So he is probably 18 months behind you if you found me 18 months ago. Even though you're making the organizational progress in your home, if you start in stage one, as almost everyone does, where everything is a junk drawer and there's no order whatsoever, maybe there was at one point, but there certainly isn't now because of, for whatever reason, we don't care what the reason is, you're going to get organized. Now, I'm just going to ask you, like I have, you know, 10, it was 10 pounds. Now it's up to 15 pounds to lose. Do you know how many times I've said I'm going to lose this 15 pounds? I don't know, for a decade. Like for a decade, I've said this. How many times have you said, I am going to get organized? I am buying this book. I am buying this program. I am buying this organizer system. This is it. This is the year. This is the time I'm going to get organized. It's not the first time, is it? And how many of those times have you told your husband that this is the year I'm going to get organized, this is the thing I need to get organized, if you would just read this book with me, we could get organized? Yeah, more than once, I am sure. And so he's like, oh yeah, great, Lisa this, Lisa that, Lisa says to do this, that is just fabulous for whoever this Lisa chick is, but I'll believe it when I see it. That's what he's thinking. He's thinking, I'll believe it when I see it. So you have to do the work and start to get organized in order for him to come on board. And I'm going to tie this into kids at the end too, because it all comes back to you. You can only control yourself. And I do know there are some situations where this is not true, and I'll get to those as well. So you've shared your goals with your husband, I'm sure. But is every single area in the house that you are in control of organized already? Like, are you in the stage three maintenance productivity area of your organization personally? If you're not, then I don't even want you to think about your kids and your husband yet. Like if your kitchen is not completely decluttered, organized, and has only in it what you use, love, and want and need, then I don't want to hear about your husband. If you haven't gone through your personal part of the master closet, gotten down to only the shoes that you wear, all of the clothes that look and feel great on you, your nightstand is totally cleaned out, your portion of the bathroom doesn't have 15 different kinds of lotion, only for me, it's two kinds of lotion that I use, just the little makeup manager that I have that I pull in and out, that little bin that I pull in and out, no extra makeup that you wore 10 years ago, like not even one little pod. Like you're that organized yourself. Your laundry room is completely organized. You have a laundry routine that is working. You know week after week how much time you need to do your laundry. You have the right amount of soap. You don't have any extra cleaners in there. It's totally organized. All of your paper has been purged. If you go to your filing cabinet, there's nothing in there that needs to be shredded. It's all already shredded. Are you that organized? If you are that organized and your husband has not come on board either, two things. One, he's never going to change, which is very likely impossible. Or two, your expectation for what organized looks like doesn't match what his expectation for organized looks like, which is also very possible. But the odds that you are that organized, that there is nothing left in your storage room that is from your high school days that you really need to go ahead and declutter like I did. I'm not as organized as what I'm telling you you would need to be before you would focus on your kids and your husband. Like, I'm not that organized. There are still things that I need to get rid of. I could go paperless. I could start digitizing everything and go paperless. There is more organization that I could personally do in my own life. There are photos, believe it or not, with 100 scrapbooks. There are still photos that haven't been handled. They're my husband's family's photos. There's a genealogy project I could work on. I could do a puzzle like I love to do. There are all of my kids' little videotapes of when they took their first step. Like we've moved half of those to DVDs, but we still have another half to go, and that's probably a month-long project. So I still have things in my house to be organized. So if I still have things in my house to be organized, I'm thinking you probably do too. And if you don't, maybe I should be listening to your podcast and feel free to let me know where that is. So let's figure out what your husband is looking for and how to bring him on board. So number one, he is looking for consistency. Would you follow me? Would you be doing what I say in order to organize your house if I posted a podcast whenever I felt like it? Like some weeks there would be three, and then there'd be 3 weeks where there was none, and then you'd get one. 2 more weeks later, you'd get one. Then a week after that, you'd get two. And they were on anything I was thinking about, like how to organize notepads. And then it was on how to organize dog treats. And then it was on how to organize your nightstand drawer. Like, no, because there's not enough consistency for when you're going to hear from me. And number two, how many people even want to organize dog treats, their nightstand, and their notebooks? Like, fine, like maybe if everything else is organized, you would, but that wouldn't move the needle for you. Like it wouldn't make sense. I have to teach you the Sunday basket first. Then I need you to get you in the 100 days whole house challenge so you could get the bulk of your house organized. So then we can move into productivity and start to look at our calendars. And I have a whole bunch of new things that I want to go into next year. I have had on my list to teach you on the podcast to go through you the process of going through an estate. But it is such a big process. It's probably 8 podcasts, and it's so relevant to you when you're going through an estate. But for 99% of you, it is not relevant to you today that I haven't recorded the podcasts. Because not that it wouldn't be valuable, not that I don't know how to do it, not that some of you wouldn't benefit from it, and when you needed it, you would search it in the podcast and listen to those episodes. But because 99% of you listening today don't need it today. So I produce my podcasts content in order of how many of you need this information today. So I will record those. I can't tell you when because I keep adding in other things that are more necessary and nobody else is covering. So I don't know who else is out there covering how to organize spouses, but I'm thinking it's not very many people. If you Google how to organize an estate, you get a lot of search results, right? So this is more important for where the majority of you are and the question that I don't think is already being answered on anywhere. Number two, he is looking for results that last. So even if you've been doing this for 3 months, 6 months, even a year. Let's say you've made enough progress that you've decluttered the house and now you're working on the organizing. So you spent a whole year just getting rid of things and now you're doing the organizing, which is how long I say it takes. Okay, well, so you've decluttered, but it's not organized yet. And he's looking for results that last. And usually when you start organizing, it's worse before it gets better, right? Because you've got stuff that you want to sell and stuff that you want to donate, stuff you're really not sure about, and you can't decide if you want to let it go or not. And maybe you get the kitchen organized, but the whole rest of the house is still a hot mess, which I know frustrates you, but it's all part of the process. So he's going, great, the kitchen is organized, but you know, I can't even walk in the basement. So, you know, is she going to get on the next, you know, listen to Susie Jane's podcast next, and then the kitchen's going to go back to nothing? And I'm not going to get on board until she's actually really going to do this. And our kitchen has stayed organized for 6 months. Like if our kitchen stays organized, then all right, maybe this Lisa person knows what she's talking about. Number three, change is yucky. You can tweet that. Change is yucky. Lisa says change is yucky. So change, even good change, is scary and different and weird. And we don't know how to process that. And I don't think I talk about this enough on the podcast, how weird it is to actually be organized. I remember when I was done, I decluttered for a year and then I organized for a year. And by the time I got to the year three of doing my own house, we had the tops of these cabinets, which I had put in new cabinets in our kitchen that were bigger, that have more shelves in them because we had so much stuff. And the tops of the cabinets, there was nothing on the shelf. And then we had this closet in the basement that was completely empty. And I felt like I needed to go buy stuff to put it in there or reorganize it or reallocate it where we had things in the house so that all of the space I had was used. It is really weird to live in a space that used to be cluttered and is now organized and in some cases a little bit empty. It's weird. And so your spouse is watching you get rid of everything except the children and the dog and wondering if he's next. Like, I don't want to declutter with you because the way you declutter is you're eliminating half of our house and I don't want to eliminate half of my fishing supplies. Because spouses in general do not have the quantity of stuff that the woman has. Remember, 85% of my house is my stuff. Even in the most clutter homes I go in, the husband usually does not have more than 50% of the items that are in the house. There could be an exception. You may be the exception. But for the most part, the husband has his part of the master closet, sometimes a home office, usually part of a garage or a storage room in the basement, which has his passion project in it. And then sometimes that has overflowed it because his office isn't organized into other areas of the house. But very rarely, I've never seen it actually, where the husband had stuff in the laundry room, had stuff in the kitchen, or, you know, had stuff in some of these other spaces. There are definitely spaces where he doesn't keep anything at all. He just goes in those rooms. Unless your house is super, super cluttered. And everybody has a level of clutter comfort. So if you both came into the marriage with a bunch of knickknacks and stuff and you love all your stuff and you've lived together for 35 years with all of this stuff and kids and grandkids and you could still go find your checkers board from when you were a kid in your house and all of a sudden you want to majorly purge down to a minimalist lifestyle, well, that's shocking. That's shocking. And while you may have mentally made that decision because you want to live on a boat now instead of in this big 3,000 square foot house that you've raised generations in, give him some time to catch up. Paint that picture of why you want to downsize. What is that living on the boat experience going to be like? Does he want to be on a boat? Does he want to be in a smaller house? Or does he want to live in this house for the rest of his life? And maybe that's not financially feasible anymore, and you need to talk through and process through that. So change is yucky, even if it's good change, especially if it's dictated to you. So you're all in love with Lisa and Organize 365 and taking back your order of your house, and this is going to be awesome. But is he? And I'm sorry, I know you guys want me to record podcasts for men and boys, and I can only focus on you right now. So while I'm telling you to focus on you, I'm only focusing on you. So I'm not going to be recording podcasts about working from home. I'm not going to be recording podcasts for men. I've already recorded the podcast for boys and girls. I am focusing on women that are over 21, and I'm focusing on women and how organization affects them in where they live, their home. That's what I'm focusing on. So number four, he has to want it. On some level, he has to want it. And what happens is when you're consistent and when you start having results that last and you start enjoying the new change that you're creating and not getting rid of his stuff, only getting rid of your stuff, eventually, almost always, they come around naturally on their own like children. So this is probably a good time to talk about children. Men, children, very similar. They watch to see if you are really going to do what you say you're going to do. I'm a dreamer. I'm a talker. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm always talking and dreaming, especially about this book tour. And I've realized that this book tour better happen because the whole family is now on board and we've mapped out the cities and the kids are really excited. And I realized, oh, wow, like this book tour is just in my head still, but my kids think we're going on it and we are going to go on it. I just have to have all the details come into play because I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a dreamer. But if this book tour doesn't happen, my kids are going to be less likely to listen when I say the next thing that Organize 365 is going to do. If I told you that I was going to, whatever, deliver something on the podcast and then I didn't, you'd be very disappointed. And then you would be less likely to follow what I have to say because you'd be afraid that your future needs would not be met. So I'm telling you, I'm not going to talk to men. I'm not going to talk to kids very much. And I'm not going to talk about working from home. I was going to, but now I'm not on the podcast. So your expectations are in line with what I'm going to deliver for you. So let's get you consistent. Let's get you organizing everything in the house that you need to organize and watch what happens to him. As soon as you start focusing again on what else can you organize for you, you're going to get to some of these harder areas. This is especially true if you've had success. Let's say you're doing the 100-day challenge and you got to day 42, which means that your entire kitchen is organized and working and your master closet, master bedroom, and master bathroom are all decluttered and organized as well. That is a really freeing feeling, especially if you live in a condo. You're pretty much almost done. So you've gotten all of that organized, and maybe next you're going to tackle the laundry room, but you haven't tackled photos and storage and memorabilia and all of those things. It's so easy to look at our kids and look at our spouse and say, all right, well, because I have some of these areas of the house working well, let's start tackling some of the areas that they're in charge of that are driving me crazy. Take all of that energy and ask yourself, what's the next area you need to organize? And it's not comfortable and it's not easy and it's challenging and it's hard and you don't want to go in the basement and face all of those boxes to open, or you don't want to go back in the laundry room for the eighth time and try to figure out how you can organize in this tiny space, getting way too much laundry done when you aren't even home long enough to get the laundry done. And I'm going to do a whole podcast just on laundry because I know that's really bothering a lot of you. In the new year, we will tackle laundry. So what do you need to organize? And as you spend your Saturday mornings organizing now, when you used to spend them shopping or doing whatever you used to do when you weren't so obsessed with organizing, your spouse is going to want to do something with you. Guys like to hang out with their wives. You know, even if they go golfing, they come back from golfing, they're like, wow, she organized this area. She organized that area. Now, here is how spouses and children are very similar. When you organize the kitchen, which is where I suggest you start, and you spend the day organizing the pantry and labeling where things go, even if that's masking tape on a shelf, or you get shoeboxes, regular shoeboxes, not even the $1 plastic ones, just or Amazon boxes. Take Amazon boxes that have already been delivered to your house, and with a Sharpie, you write on there, this is where cereal bars go, and this is where rice and sides go, and you start organizing your pantry that way, they will follow along. They will put things where they go because they crave order as much as you do. And they really will put things back where you put them. Or you could spend 5 minutes a day and straighten it up at the end of the day. Until they are used to the new system, they will really follow along. Now, if you have two or more children, you have an organized child amongst you. Even if your house is completely chaotic, you're in stage one, you just found me, this is the very first podcast you're listening to, I am telling you, if you have a couple of children, one of them is naturally organized. But you won't see it because they're frustrated living in chaos and they're the little person in your house. And so if they make a change, nobody's going to follow it. But if you make a change, everybody starts following it and everyone feeds on this. I can't remember if I told this story or not, but I record these podcasts in my head before I actually record them. So I can't remember if I've told you this story for real or just in pretend when I was thinking about telling you about husbands. So there was a family that I organized recently. It was a mom, a single mom with three teenage kids. So knowing the rule that I know that one of these children must be an organized child, I was speaking to the mom and the three teenage children before we organized. It was consultation. And everybody's bedrooms were a mess. None of the children's bedrooms were organized. I had seen the entire house. So I was talking to the mom and the children in the family room. And I said, okay, are you guys going to be here to help me on the day that we organize? She said, yes. So it was Carol and I and all four of these people organizing it. And actually, one of them brought a boyfriend. So we had like so many people in this house. I was like, all right, if everybody is here, I will give you all tasks and we will get this done. And they were like, okay. And I said, all right, which kid is the organized kid? And everyone pointed to one of them. And that person was raising their hand. And I said, okay, so you're organized? And they were like, yep. And I said, is your room organized? They said, nope. And I said, are you frustrated because every time you try to organize, everybody undoes what you do? And they said, yep. And I said, all right, here's the thing. Carol and I are going to come in and we are going to help you all get organized because nobody else is a very artistic family. Nobody else was naturally born, you know, organized. I said, then this person right here is in charge of the house. And they are allowed to tell you, you put it back wrong and you have to go change it. And they will maintain the order for you. And they all 100% agreed, that is fine. We will listen to them. We will do it at the end of the day. We will take the 10 minutes. We will put it back. Because they are not naturally organized people. They were like extremely off the charts, gifted artists. And whenever you have people that are very creative, it like doesn't even go together, like creativity and like spreadsheets. Those don't go together. But understanding that if we all chipped in together and organized this house in one day, then they would accept the limit placed on them that at the end of the day, this one person in the family was allowed to say, you need to go put that where we decided it would be and not give this person any grief. And it worked. It totally worked. I also did a bunch of other things there, but you have a naturally organized child or possibly a spouse, and they have given up because you are in charge of your household. The woman is in charge of the household, even if she works full time. It's just how it is. You're the mom. You're the heart of the home. You run most of the house. And so you are the person that people are looking to see, are you going to be consistent? Are you going to have results at last? Are you okay with the change that is happening? Are you letting everyone buy in as they're ready to buy in? If, you know, kids are different than spouses because kids, you can say, all right, even if they're teenagers, let's really organize your room. I'm going to help you. Once you get good at organizing the spaces in your house that are not your spouse and your kids related, then you'll be able to go in and organize your kids. Now, spouses are not going to want you to organize with them. Number one, they're afraid you're going to get rid of the stuff that they want to keep. And so I'm telling you, I have told you over and over and over again, you never have to get rid of anything, right? You hear me say that all the time. Like, I don't care if you want to keep it all. Keep it all. Like, I'm not going to tell you get rid of anything. So you can't tell your spouse they have to get rid of stuff either. You have to let them come to that realization on their own. They have to want the order more than they like the clutter. You see what I'm saying? Like they have to want to live a more organized life more than they like all of the stuff that they have. When they see that you're no longer looking for things and you have extra hours in your day and they don't, when they want more time to do the things that they love, then they're going to want to know how to get more organized. Final point that I want to say here is stop harping on your kids and your spouse's passion projects. Designate a space for it. So you've organized the kitchen, you've organized your part of the master closet, master bathroom, and the master bedroom, okay? There should be no more passion projects in those two areas. So like my daughter's gerbil food or whatever can't be in the kitchen, and my son's video game headphones can't be in the kitchen, and my spouse's fishing tackle box can't be in our bedroom. You see what I'm saying? They all have places to go. Since my kids have mini apartments, all their stuff has to go in their room. So that's an easy one, but it took me years to get that way. And almost all of my husband's things are in the garage or in the storage room in the basement. You can designate where their passion projects are going to live. So if your spouse doesn't want to get organized now and you are getting organized and their passion project is their computer guy and they like all of the different motherboards and keyboards and all this. I mean, I've organized a lot of people whose spouses are computers and they have extra monitors and it's just crazy the amount of stuff they have. You're allowed to say none of that is going to live in the family room anymore, as long as their home office isn't in the family room. If they have another place that they work on it. If they typically, some people, it's a carved out part of the basement that they work on these computer projects. If your spouse is working on computers and reassembling computers, there's a place that they do that. It's the living room, the bedroom, the family. I don't care where it is. It has a place, right? Like they're already doing it somewhere. Just start moving more and more of their stuff into that space. So none of it can be in the kitchen. It'll get moved into the living room where they're already doing it. None of it can be in the bedroom. It'll get moved into the living room where they're already doing it. You clean out the family room, the majority of it is going to move into the living room where they're already doing it. So they're going to have to live with more and more of their stuff piling up around them because you're eliminating how many areas in the home that stuff can locate. Because you're doing it to yourself too. Like all of your scrapbooking stuff has to end up in the basement. It can't be in every single room in the house. Or all of your, if you're a, I can't imagine cooking stuff not being in the kitchen, but I don't know. If you're a cook and somehow all of your cooking stuff is not in the kitchen, or you have a home-based business and your home-based business is in every single room of the house, you need to start getting that in, you know, less and less rooms in the house and start making these passion projects be where the people usually are in the house and take ownership of the other rooms that are not being used. All right, so that's all I have to say about organizing spouses and organizing kids. It's not about them, it's about you. And the more change that you make, the happier you are, the more time you have to be more productive, they will come alongside. Have a great week. Have a great week.